Ladies and gents, adventurers and ale sippers, pull up a stool and hush your familiars. Tonight, we have a tail spinner hotter than Red Dragon's breath and twice as unpredictable. Whether they're slinging spells, swinging steel, or sweet-talking a lich out of its phylactery, this guest has seen more dungeons than a mimic. Give a rowdy tavern welcome to the one, the only, CJ from Nat One and Done. How you doing?
I'm very rowdy. Oh shit, sorry, you said Nat One and Done and my brain immediately went Tor.
Yeah. That's always like your default though. I feel like at this point it's just Tor. CJ's the side character. Tor's playing CJ at this point.
Right. Basically. I mean, I've kind of become that character, I think, out of a mix of love for him and, you know, being proud to have created that guy.
You're a proud papa?
Oh, very, very much so.
Yeah, dude, I've been playing D&D with you for a fucking long time now. And, well, not really. It's been a medium amount of time, but... Yeah, I think this is the character that stands out the most out of, like, all the ones I've seen you play or make. Because you are the man of many faces, is how I will refer to you. You have more fucking characters made than I could ever possibly think to create. And each of them has, like, an elaborate backstory, too. Like, it's never just like, oh, I'm going to make this character and store it. Like, you always have an idea of how you're going to build that, which is, like, your building process for a character.
So, for me, when it comes to building a character, the most important thing is I got to establish how I want to play it. Do I want to play it as a more combat-focused character? Do I want to play it as a more crafty character? Do I want to play it more support? And then from there, I come up with at least a race, and then I'll start doing like the backstory and shit first, and then I'll kind of go, okay, well, if it's gonna be more of a crafty type, then I might lean more towards like a warrior status. If it's more support, then I might, you know, lean a little bit more towards like a spell slinger, and then just kind of adapt the story and all that stuff to that.
Yeah. I feel like everybody has their own like little process to how they make a character. Like for me, it starts off with drawing. Like I always sit down and I draw what I think the character looks like in my mind.
Yeah.
And then from there, I'll be like, okay, well, I can like switch it up and I can adapt it to how I want it to play. And I think that makes it just a little bit easier to like create the character. Like originally Stony was going to be a Yuan-Ti fucking, but more snake looking.
Okay.
Yeah. He's going to be like more snake looking. And after I was like, I'm going to make him a human because I don't know how a snake with long hair would look. So I made him human, and that's where it kind of spun off where I got Rango with like the backstory for him. I was like, a serpent fucking gunslinger or like a lizard folk gunslinger would still be really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But with Tor, would you say this is probably like the longest character you've played?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think my second longest would have been Karakos. And then I believe my third would have been Kilgore.
Yeah, that's the thing though. Like it's hard because like you make these characters that you like, you create and you like, you fall in love with the character. You're like, dude, this is so cool. Like I can do so many things. But the main thing, like the biggest meme in fucking D&D is like the unpredictability, like scheduling issues. And that's kind of how like groups fall apart and characters fall to the wayside. But it's so cool that you can like actually like with Tor, it's a steady thing where like you can continuously like have them grow in character. Like with the podcast, like I've seen this fucking idiot grow from like, oh, I want to kill everything to like, no, this is wrong.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. He still wants power. That's still in his story. That's still in the back of his mind. But now that, well, I won't spoil anything. So I'll just go with now with the most recent changes that have happened in the last session. It's more along the lines of just trying to figure out how to do it in a way that doesn't seem evil or mean and not necessarily be in an evil way either, you know?
So ideally, what would be the end game for Tor? Like you said that he chases power. What would that look like to Tor? Would it be because there's power comes in all kinds of different kind of ways. Were you thinking more like of godhood, maybe a king, a knight?
I would definitely say he wants to be some sort of ruling power for sure.
Oh yeah, the first Lord of the Shinies. I could see that. Solid gold armor. He's the Lord of the Shinies.
Bring me all your shinies for inspection.
You tax it by taking half of the shinies.
Yeah.
These are my shinies now.
Oh, he would have like, he would definitely need help after getting everything set up because his shit would be so ridiculous, especially for anything shiny.
Dude, like, he would just hoard all the shinies.
He would just have a law where if he sees something that's shiny and he likes it, he can take it.
What was that law? It used to be like an old thing where like of a king, he could like, if he saw a pretty woman on her wedding night, he got to sleep with her first. Or Prima Nocta, you're going to make shiny Prima Nocta for fucking Tor.
Yes.
If I see and I want it, I'm taking it.
Exactly. And you just got to let me have it. God damn it.
Emperor for life Tor. I could see that.
Hell yeah.
So Tor being your longest character, what would you say was your first character? Can you remember that far back? Because I know you've been playing for a while.
Oh, yeah. No, I still remember my first character because that's the one that I did with Pops and Amanda and Amanda's brother.
Yeah.
That's the one where I have the story of picking his character up because he got the guards called on us.
Yeah.
So I grabbed his character and swung him like a baseball bat into the guard and knocked the guard out.
And that was your character Scar, right?
No. So this was before, because this was back in D&D 3.5.
Oh, geez.
And I was a rogue, but I was a Goliath.
How does that work?
Yeah, it was very weird because I could go into a shop and hide in between two normal size crates.
Yeah.
And my stealth and sleight of hand were good enough that no one could fucking see me.
That's fucking hilarious. Just like a Goliath that you can never find. You don't find him, he finds you.
Yeah, exactly. If I didn't want to be found, I would not be found.
What was the character's name?
Oh, God, that.
Oh, no, that you forgot your first character's name.
That I don't think I remember. But again, you're talking like back in 2010, maybe?
Yeah.
2010, 2011?
I feel like a lot of people still remember their first character's name, though. I still remember mine. But like I said, I haven't been playing for as long as you have. I think I started playing slightly after they made 5e, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I remember that, but he wasn't even like a full playable character. He was just a character I made so you could like teach me how to play. My fucking Owling Druid. I think I've always had a affinity for fucking druids. I got a soft spot in my heart.
It definitely seems that way.
Yeah, dude, that was one of my favorites too, because I remember like you're like, don't get complicated with the backstory because I don't really need a backstory. It's just like, I was like, can I write one anyways? But yeah, go ahead. It's good practice. I think like I made it so that he was the, fuck, what is his name? The Greek god of wine, Dionysus. He was like Dionysus and an Owling's kid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, not thinking about that. How would that work? I don't want to think about it any further than that.
Yeah, no, but I mean, part of, you know, the reason I don't really remember the name either is not only the length of time.
Yeah.
But this was back in the day when it was all still paper sheets.
Oh my God, dude, I've had to play one paper sheet and it was kind of hard to keep up with anything. I don't have the attention span for that.
Yeah, when I started, that's all there was paper sheets.
Like even you describing like the characters like that you've played and like the characters I've seen you make, you always kind of have like that, your characters always kind of follow kind of a mold where they're like just the big fucking strong guy. Is there like a reason why you play that? Because I don't think I've ever seen you play like, I think I've maybe like once or twice I've seen you play like a small squishy dude. And even when you play a small dude, it's like a dwarf where he's still strong.
Well, I mean, Karakos was a custom lineage and he was your average. I think I made him, you know, 6 foot tall. So he was a normal character. It was kind of, I'd have to say I just wanted something that at the time I thought would be different because I think so. Like I was like, okay, typically every party member is, you know, oh, I'm going to be like a ranger or a mage. Like yeah. Those are ones that typically come to my head when, you know, it's like, oh, first D&D character. Oh, like a ranger or a mage or, you know, well, I guess it'd be wizard. I'm doing more like Final Fantasy speak, but
yeah, you always say mage and that always throws me off guard. It's like, what is it, like a sorcerer?
No, but it's, you know, those classes always come to mind. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do, and those are the classes I normally do. So then when I was like, hey, I'm going to try a fighter for the first time or a barbarian, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go above and beyond. So I'm going to make these just like absolutely terrifying characters. But now that I've kind of been trying something new with Tor, that's why my characters now are kind of spread out.
Yeah, because you've like, made a mix of like big guys that are like kind of dumb, and then big guys that are kind of smart. You made big guys with magic. You made big guys that are just straight melee. But it always kind of seems to be centered around the big guy thing.
Yeah, and no, I mean, I have probably like 10 or 15 characters created that are just your average size. It's just trying to figure out, because I'm big when it comes to any sort of RPG, be it tabletop or, you know, console, computer, whatever. I enjoy like crafting aspects. I don't know why, but I've always been able, or I've always liked to be able to self-sustain. So my characters have always generally had some sort of focus around like thief or rogue, just so I can steal what I need. But now that the game's mechanics have gotten so kind of in depth and they're starting to realize that more, like look at the Artificer book that Beyond just released not that long ago that has an actual like a bunch of subclasses for the Artificer that are new. It's got more crafting based ones. So they're starting to kind of incorporate that more. And that's where before it was always like, oh, I got to be power. I got to be, you know, tough. I got to be the one that's kicking ass. And now it's like, well, I'm willing to sacrifice some of that OP nature that can be kind of disruptive if played the wrong way, and sacrifice that for the ability to craft and help my party out. Like if Tor ever dies, and we don't know, you know, you never know. It could be a roll of the dice where I fuck up and Tor's kaputsky.
Oh, honestly, there's been a couple of times where it's looked like that, and it's very like terrifying because you're like, you spend so much time with this party member and you're like, oh, it's like Tor, he's like he's family, like to all the characters. And just to kind of see like how close you've come to almost dying multiple times, stay tuned for that and keep listening. it's like, it's kind of heartbreaking because you get like accustomed to these characters, and it's always kind of sad to see like think about like, hey, what happens if like he leaves? Like, you, of course you're going to bring in another character, but like, are they going to mesh well? They're going to be like, are they going to work with the party how they're supposed to, like how Tor filled the spot? Do you ever have any concerns like that going into like combats?
Oh, all the time, because I thoroughly enjoy Tor. Like I've thought about, you know, if I really get the urge to add something, I've thought of maybe talking to the DM and being like, hey, I need to change something up with Tor. Can we find a way for this to fit in canonically in the story where I can have this happen and I'll just like respec them for something? You know, like I would take some hits and maybe take away, I don't know, a level or two in fighter and maybe drop it into something else. But it's every time we go into combat, I worry because I know that as Tor, my mind goes to protect the party, protect my family. But at the same time, I know that that's not always necessarily sustainable, but that's out of game. Tor doesn't know any better. He's just like, oh, fuck. Guys, I got to protect you. Stay behind me. I'm big.
Yeah, dude. Tor has the habit of running and just like, I'm going to protect everybody. I want to block the fight. I was like, dude, I shoot. I need you out the way. But it's been a big thing where Tor's just kind of run in to try to protect everybody. And it becomes kind of like, it's terrifying because he takes the brunt of like getting hit in the force and all that. And he can't heal himself.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. He's far away from that. So yeah, it's absolutely terrifying. And it does legitimately scare the shit out of me. I mean, do I have other characters that I think would be fun to play, also fit in and be able to help in different ways? Yes, but I don't think I'm ready to say goodbye to Tor or even see you later to Tor.
Yeah, I think Tor still has a lot left in this story to go. But how does it make you feel like seeing that starting this podcast, the Nat One and Done, and just seeing how it's grown over time and seeing like Tor be like so universally beloved by like everybody, like everybody's like favorite character is Tor. Does that surprise you? How did that make you feel?
It's something that I can't really even fully explain. Like I going into, cause you know, when we did the start of this campaign, you know what, we were 2 or 4 episodes in when we had decided, hey, let's see about making this podcast.
We were two when me and you came up with the idea to make this.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did, you know, we did those and my thing was, I want to make a character that will get along well with the party, that will be able to survive, but also where it differs the most is normally I'll just play to however I want the character. This time I'm playing to his stats. So his intelligence is pretty low. Before it was in the negative. Now it's not.
Yeah, it's been kind of a growing experience for Tor to get a slightly little bit like smarter. So yeah. seeing how he's like everybody's favorite, is he your favorite character you've made or is he like top three?
So he is my favorite character. And again, it's still like I can't explain how I feel about him, you know, being or having such an impact on people because I never thought that would happen. He was just made to be a fun character that I could kind of test my role-playing ability with, like truly go into it. So, yeah, I mean, even thinking like about how he's everyone's favorite and how, yeah, like I said, I would definitely say he's my favorite right now. It's just crazy to think about. Like every time I think about, hey, oh, everyone loves Tor, like in my mind, I still go, but why? He's just a goofball.
That's
like
why everybody loves him. He's the lovable dum-dum. But going off that, what would be your least favorite character you've built? Because I've got mine, my least favorite that you built.
Tom Doretta.
I fucking hate Tom Doretta so much. I hate him with all my heart.
Oh, fucking Tom, man. He's something else. He was created to be an annoying pain in the ass.
And he succeeded.
I just thought of how can I make a Dom Toretto parody that is also just like one of the Parody Fest and the Furious movie levels of annoying. And that's what came to mind. As far as least favorite, that would have to be, I will say it's a character that I haven't played yet, but in looking at it, I'm not quite sure if I ever will, just because re-looking at everything, it doesn't seem like something with the player growth I've had that I would find intriguing anymore. And that is a cleric wizard variant feral tiefling named Roki.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's a lot, dude.
Yeah, he seemed like he was going to be interesting. I mean, he has, you know, a high arcana, a high investigation, a high insight, but eh.
So with Tor being like so universally loved and so popular, I see why you always have like that little fear of like, oh, like I don't know if he's gonna like what's gonna happen, or but he's always protective of his siblings. So I want to transition slightly into one of kind of a dynamic that you have with the character in the party, and that would be the relationship between my character Stony and your character Tor, where they're kind of like pranksters and they're silly and all that, but Tor has a habit of misunderstanding what Stony's saying. So I kind of want to do a little game with you.
Okay.
Since we don't, usually we have you play against somebody else for a point. Yeah. And the deal was at the end of this first season, if you have more wins than losses, I'm going to take you out to dinner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately, we don't have anybody for you to play against. So we're going to have you play a solo game. Okay. Let's say if you get the majority of these, you'll win the game.
Okay.
So Tor has a thing where he misunderstands a lot of what people say, but it tends to go double for what Stony's saying. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some cowboy sayings and I want you to tell me what you think they mean.
Am I telling you as Tor or telling you as myself?
Whichever you want, buddy. Dealer's okay. Choice.
All right. Let's hear it.
Alrighty. So today's game is Trail Talk. The first one is All Hat and No Cattle.
So I'm going to go with being Tor is the one that deals with all these. I will go with how Tor would respond. And in his mind, because he does remember, he is technically a knight. That's mm-hmm. something that I think a lot of people forget. Like, they think the class Echo Knight, but his background is actually a knight. Like, he was in the military. So I feel that he would have heard some off the wall meanings. And if he heard that, he would probably assume that you're basically saying that someone is like all talk, but they're not going to do anything.
That is exactly it, buddy. Someone who talks big, but doesn't back it up.
Hey.
Now, are we ready for the second one?
Yes.
Second one is don't squat with your spurs on.
Okay, so Tor on that one would immediately think that you're saying that because you might get a spur to the ass when you're trying to squat to take a shit.
Okay, so that one, is you're a little off, but this is something that Tor is guilty of. It means don't do something foolish or painful due to lack of thought.
Oh, yeah, no, Tor acts before he thinks every time.
Yeah, well, I know, dude. I've been there. That's fucking terrible. Second one is he's writing for the brand.
So if Tor heard that, he would immediately assume like it has something to do with fellowship. Like he's doing it for his family.
Yep, that is correct. So that would be someone that's loyal to the group, which Tor is also guilty of.
Yes.
That silly little bugbear would die for any one of them.
Oh yeah, he would. Hardcore.
All right, so we'll give you the win on this one. So your official score now is, I don't even have a count.
I think I'm 2-1.
Yeah, I think you're 2-1 right now. You're 2 wins, 1 loss.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that one was just a random one. I got one more for you, but this one's like really confusing.
Okay.
If you want to try it.
I mean, I'll try it as a bonus.
Okay, you want it as a bonus question?
Yeah. Because being I'm doing it as Tor, if it's really confusing, he definitely won't get it.
Okay, so this last one is skin that smoke wagon.
The fuck? Yeah, even me as a player or just me being me. Yeah, that one, I no fucking clue.
Yeah, dude, there's two that I found, but they come off of that the 1993 film Tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of them.
Don't skin so that
it's
wagon? Like
during a conference. No, it's skin that smoke skin wagon. Oh, skin that
smoke wagon. Okay. I would guess something that has to do with taking action, but I could not say. It's been a while since I've watched Tombstone, actually.
Close enough, dude. So skin in this regard means to draw or pull, and smoke wagon is slang for a gun.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So it basically means pull that gun or pull your weapon for a fight.
Ah, okay.
And then the second one is also from the 1993 film Tombstone. You're a daisy if you do.
That could be a couple things of like, hey, if you do.
So I'll give you a hint. It's sarcastic and basically daring.
So it's basically talking shit like, hey, it's like trying to get someone to do a dare.
Kind of. It's more of a taunt.
Oh, like talking shit like if kind of like if you don't do that, you're a pansy type deal, something like that.
Kind of. So it's basically like if you try it. Like shooting me or challenging me to a gunfight and you succeed, then I'll give you your credit, but good luck.
Yeah,
those ones I thought were a little bit harder, so I was like, I'm gonna save those for bonus questions.
Yeah, there's no way Tor could have got those.
I feel like Tor Intellect probably would have gotten that.
No.
Like, oh, smoke wagon, that's a gun, because when you shoot, smoke comes out of it.
No, if anything, and you said smoke wagon, he would be like, oh, let me show you a smoke wagon. And he would go light a wagon on fire and push it down the middle of the city.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he was going to show his ass. I was like, gross.
No, he'd...
Why is there smoke coming out of there, Tor?
Well, I mean, why did we hear screams when his shit got burnt? Never know.
I honestly still don't have answers to that, and it haunts me every single night.
Yeah,
I don't know what it means, but I'm so scared.
I've honestly wanted to ask Stella to light my shit on fire again to see if it happened.
You should definitely try that. I would like to see how that ends up.
Tor's got satanic dookies.
Because what did she use the spell on it?
Sacred flame. I don't remember.
Sacred flame on your shit. Why? Okay, I'm going to have to go back and listen because I don't know why in any situation we would light your shit on fire.
Because remember, it was a giant pile.
Yes, but why would we light on fire? Wouldn't that just make the whole place smell like shit?
Well, I guess.
Listeners,
I guess
any of these listeners, go back, listen to it, and then comment why that would, why we did that, because I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was just to get rid of the shit pile because the smell was horrendous. So we figured if we... I
think that's how that would have worked.
Well, I think we figured if we burned it, it would smell well being burnt, but once gone, like, the smell would dissipate, where being... We just left a pile of shit there. If we would have, then it would have just stunk.
What's this we, dog? This wasn't a we situation. This isn't the royal we. This was you. You shit in the corner and you left.
Hey, it's not my fault. My tummy was upset.
If we burn it, it can't hurt us anymore.
Exactly.
All right, bud. So we've come to our final segment of this show, which you're familiar with. It's called One Roll to Rule Them All. So basically, tell me when a nat 1 foiled your plan or when a nat 20 made it a day to remember.
Well, anytime I play as Tor, nat 1s ruin my plans.
Very frequently, actually. It's kind of, it's like terrifying.
Yeah.
Because it happens so frequently.
It's his thing. He is just a fucking nat 1 magnet. Now, as far as nat...
It's his unofficial thing.
Right.
Which one would you say was probably the worst in Tor? In this campaign, the Unseen Hand campaign, so much because you fucking rack them up, dude. If you have to try, do one.
So it's, I will say that it's not technically going to be one, but it is one because it was one session where I rolled 4 nat ones in a row and it was all trying to get shit accomplished. Everything that I did just fucking failed. Or I think it might have been like 2 in a row and then I two think more you later.
2 straight in a fight.
Yeah. So that really screwed me up. And then, see, it's hard because as Tor, anytime I've rolled a nat 20, it has typically been outside of combat for either like a perception check or I think I got one.
Very rarely do you pull them in fucking in combat.
Yeah, and that's what sucks. Actually, there was that one time where I did get the nat. Oh, it was where I rolled a nat 20 and a nat 1 back to back.
I think I remember that.
So that one was a great time, but I think one of my favorites was being in combat. I think it was like when I first got the Random Acts of Kindness and I was like, oh, I'm going to do terrible with this fucking weapon. And I had gotten a nat 20, which allowed me to roll, I think it's like a D6 or a D8, and I get random effects based on what it is. And I think I had rolled to re-roll a saving throw, and that actually came in handy.
I remember that. That actually kind of comes in handy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's a it's a good classic weapon, but I do want to see if we can ever get back in town, you know, to see the favorite blacksmith, if she can soup it up. And I won't say anything more just because, you know, spoilers, but yeah.
I don't know, man. She makes shoddy weapons, in my opinion.
Hey, how dare you? That fucking mace she made me was sick.
What about the naked man shield? That was not sick.
No, but that was terrible. But that I think I got off someone in the ziggurat. She didn't make that.
No, dude. No, you found that in her shop.
Did I?
Yeah, because I remember I helped you roll the perception to find something, and I rolled, I think, a nat 1.
Yeah.
I rolled really low, and it fucked up your roll.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and I think that was the only thing you found that first time we were in the shop. You just found a naked man shield, and that was it.
Oh, damn. Well, then...
And that's why Stony no longer rides on your back.
Hey, that was an awesome shield, though.
It really wasn't, dude. I don't think it had any extra bonuses to it. I think it was just a naked dude on a shield.
Well, I mean,
if that's what you're into, that's what you're into, but it didn't do anything else.
Well, I think it was supposed to have the effect of, like, distracting people, but I honestly think, like, I feel like that was its purpose, but I think the DM also forgot to roll for that, like, the disadvantage or whatever.
Oh, you forgot to roll for Nakey?
Exactly.
Dude, that was just a terrible shield. Like, worse than Stony not getting a weapon was you getting that shield. That is by far way worse.
I mean, I don't have it now, but I could probably always find a way to find it again.
Please don't.
That'll be the prank.
Let that fucking...
You'll just...
Let that shield die.
No, you'll wake up with just that hanging over your face.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
It's the Nakey boy, the little Nakey boy.
It's the Nakey shield. Roll for Shield of Nakey?
Yes, and I will roll a nat 20 for that one.
He's dope. That's terrible, man. All right, bud. Well, that's about all the time we have today. You want to go ahead and plug whatever you got going on?
Oh, God. Get ready for another 20 minutes of a podcast. All right. So we got Unrivaled Java, which is greatest cold brew out there. We're working on trying to bring that back. We had it in a mobile unit, but that was a rush because of a buddy of mine. So working on doing it the smarter way. We have Runic Scale 3D printing, where we do fidgets and all kinds of other cool shit, including minis. So a brief shout out to a Fireball for the ones you sent. That dragon head is sick. We have Copper State IT Solutions, which is my own IT company that I've recently started. And we have Laser Engraving, which does not have a name yet. So that will be out and about. And then, of course, fucking Nat 1, guys. Listen to it.
Bro, you forgot Eternal Shine.
Oh, no. No, that was still next. I'm still going down the list. But I thank you for bringing one up. So, yeah, that one's actually one that I thoroughly enjoy, along with the 3D printing and shit. That stuff's fun as hell. But Eternal Shine, gravestone cleaning. So if you're this one currently is just in the state of Arizona. Currently, we're kind of focused in the Tucson area, but we're working on expanding. So if you have someone, you know, a loved one that passed away and you would like to bring that grave marker of theirs back to life and, you know, give them kind of just that love that you can, being, you know, they're unfortunately not around anymore. So the ways that you can give them and continue to show that love is kind of dwindled a little bit, but that's one of the ways. So check them out too. But now that I think, also don't forget to check out Tales from Helheim, because that is back from its long rest and ready to rip and roll as well.
That it is. Damn, you got a lot going on, dude.
Yeah, my plate is more fucking full than what Jarnathan's plate would have been full of at a fucking buffet, an all you can eat buffet.
Oh, that's a great character too. That's for another time though.
Yep. But just so people know why I compared that, it's because he's a hippo man.
He was a hippo man. R.I.P. Well, folks, the tankards are empty, the dice are cooling off, and our guest has vanished like a rogue with a stealth check over 20. Thanks for sharing around with us here at the coziest corner of the realm, where the stories are tall and the mead flows taller. Until next time, may your crits be natural, your loot be legendary, and your tavern tabs mysteriously paid. This has been Chat One and Done. We'll see you at the next long rest. Bye! Okay.